Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday evening and welcome to Average Joe Radio. This is Average Joe. Thank you guys for listening in on this Father's Day 2019. We're not doing a show on Father's Day today. We did a show on Father's Day last year, and as much as I can go on and talk about my dad, all day long, I wanted to, of course, mention Father's Day because it's important. And as I said in my promo video, happy Father's Day to all you fathers and happy Father's Day to everyone because everybody has a father. And as I also said, if he's alive and you can get to him, hug his neck and tell him happy Father's Day and you love him and spend some time with him. Hopefully you're doing that now instead of listening to me. Unless you're listening to the archive. But anyway, so today, there's my first anyway, and I didn't say so until now. today we're going to talk about war. We started talking about it a little bit. We were actually talking about D-Day last week, and we had something happen that hasn't happened before. We actually ran over our normal 30 minutes and ended up going into about 45 minutes. And had a longer show than ever, and that's okay. Sometimes we need more time, and Blog Talk Radio was good enough not to cut us off right at 30 minutes. So before we get into that, though, album of the week. I decided to present our album of the week this week, not necessarily based on my taste, although I do enjoy this band and this particular album, even though I've never owned it, but I decided to give album of the week based on merit, and that particular merit is the greatest or the best-selling album of all time, and you might be a little bit surprised. This was actually released in on April 23rd, 2019. That in August, and the Eagles' Greatest Hits album, which was released in 1976, surpassed Michael Jackson's 1982 album Thriller to take the top spot on the Recording Industry Association of America list of the highest-selling album of all time in the United States. And the Eagles have the first and third best-selling albums of all time with the band's Hotel California following Thriller. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me. I wouldn't have expected that, even though I know the Eagles are a super successful band and a lot of people like them. Their music is timeless. And, there you have it. This Day in History, sticking with our science, just I go with what's my favorite subjects. In 1963, Soviet cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova, those Russian names get me, becomes the first woman in space. She was aboard the Vostok 6. She becomes the first woman to travel into space after 48 orbits and 71 hours. She returned to Earth, having spent more time in space than all U.S. astronauts combined to that date. So that's pretty cool. All right, let's move on. As I said, last week we were talking about D-Day, and of course we talked a lot about D-Day being a war subject. It got me to thinking, and I have to give credit where credit's due. One of our regular listeners, Jim, had given me this idea to do a series on war, and so we're not going to become a military war show, but we are going to do a series, and this is the pilot series, you could say, or the pilot episode, you could say. And so we're going to talk about wars that America has been involved in, the United States of America. We're not going to talk about all wars because we could do that for, you know, ever. Mankind's been killing each other for a long time, whether it's over land, resources, religion, race. We've always been fighting and killing each other, and we've gotten more efficient at it. We've got, you know, all kind of really cool weapons and tools, and we can just blow up each other way more efficiently than we used to could. We had to start out with like sticks and rocks and stuff, and now we can kill thousands of people, you know, with the push of a button. A little history on war. You know, well, I guess it's all history. The first war, now this is just, we're going to go way back first. The first war, I forgot to give my number here, 914-219-0884, if you want to jump in. And if you got comments or you just want to email us, it's averagejo@carolina.rr.com. Again, the number to call in is 914-219-0884. Feel free to call in if you got a comment I mentioned this in the last week, and I'm sure I mentioned it in many other episodes. I am not a history expert, so I've tried to do some research over the last few days, and I've tried to be as accurate as I can, and I will be. But if you know any different or better and you can give me some documentation to back it up, or if you just know more than I do, which might be pretty easy, call me and, call me on it and say, dude, that's not right. I know this and this is why. So the first war in recorded history took place in Mesopotamia in 2700 BC, between Sumer and Elam. The Sumerians, under command of the king of Ash, Inabarajes, defeated the Elamites in this war, and it is recorded carried away. This is quote, carried away as spoils the weapons of Elam, unquote. Sumer, ever how it's pronounced, was the southernmost region of ancient Mesopotamia, which is modern-day Iraq and Kuwait, which is generally considered the cradle of civilization. The name comes from Akkadian, the language of the north of Mesopotamia, and means land of the civilized kings. Elam, was an ancient pre-Iranian civilization centered in the far west and southwest of what is now modern-day Iran, stretching from the lowlands of what is now Khuzestan and Elam province, as well as a small part of southern Iraq. The modern name Elam stems from the Sumerian transliteration, along with the latter Akkadian and the Elamite. Elamite states were among the leading political forces of the ancient Near East. In classical literature, Elam was also known as Susiana. So we'll leave it at that. I'm not going to get real deep into that. I'm certainly not an ancient history expert, and so I just wanted to relate that. I was just curious as to when the first, recorded war in history. Now, I was also thinking about biblically. Let's see here. Let me find my notes. The first known war recorded biblically, and this was in Genesis 14, and I don't know, because it's kind of talking about the same stuff, but just saying it a different way. And so it may be the same war. Abram goes to war. This is in this is the first war mentioned in the Bible, the first specific account of a military engagement. The first block of nations was that of the four Mesopotamian kings of the east, Chedorlaomer. And by the way, if you know about this, if you know this is the same as what I was just talking about so far as Mesopotamia, call, let me know. King of Elam, modern Iran, seems to have been dominant. The second alliance was made up of five kings, including the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's in Genesis 14:2. After 12 years as vessels of the four eastern kings, the five southern kings attempted to throw off their shackles, but the eastern kings could not allow such rebellion to go unpunished. The economic results of ignoring the insurrection were too devastating to contemplate. The five southern kings controlled the territory known as the Way of the Kings, which was the land bridge through which commerce between Egypt and the four eastern kingdoms passed. Whoever controlled this land bridge maintained a monopoly on international trade. The end result was Sodom and Gomorrah were sacked. Everything and everyone that could be carried off was. See, now that's what I was talking about, of everything being carried off. The four kings conquered the five kings and retained control of the trade route. So there you go. I mean, it's all about territory. It usually is. It's territory, money, resources, religion, racism, and those are sometimes one and the same if you're, you know, talking about the Jewish people. Mr. Scott, I see you're there. If you want to jump in, just feel free to let me know. And don't let me push you in. But anyway, so that's some prehistoric, well, not prehistoric, that's some ancient history, as it were. So we're going to, as I said, we're going to do this series on American wars, wars that the United States has been directly involved in. We're going to, and we're going to do each war as an episode. let me just go through you briefly here. I believe Mr. Great Scott has given us the thumbs up that he's willing to jump in. So we're gonna pull him on into the show. Great Scott.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm just dancing around like a crazy average Joe kind of guy should.
I've already heard
whatever
more stuff
that means.
Than
I don't know.
I've already heard more stuff than I ever knew. That's pretty deep. I'm sure it's timeless.
Well,
that sounds like some pretty good research.
Well, you know, that's one thing that I'm really excited about this subject is even though a lot of this stuff is common knowledge to those that pay attention, you know, as
well,
I've said before,
out.
I wasn't a very good history student, as I indicated last week, and so I'm paying attention now, and so it's a good opportunity for me to learn, along with everybody else that wants to join in with us.
I agree.
And
interesting series.
Yeah, you know, so we can, you know, one good way to learn is, you know, you read about it, you talk about it, you write it down, you see it. You know, it's just there's so much. You know, if you get involved in the conversation, you're going to remember it a lot better, or especially me, than if we just, you know, breeze through it in a textbook.
Right. Well, a lot of your topics are way over my head, and this is one, too. But it seems to be endemic to our species. And it would be fascinating to hear everyone's comments on the particular American wars. Is it definitely how we got here and as a country, and seems to be a continuous thing. But I don't have anything to add other than it's a pretty deep subject, and I'm looking forward to hearing everybody's input on the various ones. I think that may be the only way someone like me could get a handle on this man's inhumanity demand type situation, is because we all have our stories, particularly from the Civil War, passed down through us. And it wasn't too long before that, the Revolutionary, and so on and so on. But I'm looking forward to hearing everyone's comments on the way they feel about all the struggles.
Well, I hope that, you know, even though you and I are not experts, that, you know, between what you know and what I know, even if it's not that much, and now that you know what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, maybe you can do some reading or whatever you want to do on your end. And between the two of us and anybody else that wants to join in, hopefully we can compile a great good amount of information and conversation, and make it you know, a learning experience, and hopefully it won't be boring.
Oh, yeah. No, you do a fine job, brother, always. Well, I've been reading The Road to Guilford Courthouse, which is pretty much the end of the American Revolution, when the British decided to invade Charleston, and they thought they would have a lot of loyalists in that part of the region. And it's just fascinating. This is I can't remember the man's first name. It's a Buchanan, The Road to Guilford Courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just filled with all kinds of horrific details. But it's interesting because I know, you know, I grew up, as you know, right next to Kings Mountain National Memorial. National Military Park, excuse me. And it always fascinated me, but I'm starting to hear more and more of the details, and it's always just a horrendous type situation.
Yeah. Well, you know, I talked about this a little bit last week. You know, the the museums and the battlefields and the relics and all that stuff. You know, it makes it real, and because it is real, it was real. And it's not just a tale. And
yeah.
When you think about the reality of it, I mean, I don't even have words how, horrible.
I cannot imagine.
I know it has a purpose, whether it's good or bad.
Right.
And I'm not necessarily the one, and well, definitely not the one to say whether it is good or bad. I'm just looking at it from the outside. But we're gonna take each war, and I have a list here actually provided by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Oh.
And so I believe this is a good, accurate list. It's not that long, I'm just going to go through it briefly, and I'm going to cover everything, but I'm not going to go into all the details because that's what we're going to save, you know, in future episodes to talk about the details. So, of course, the first war fought by the Americans is the American Revolution, 1775. That's when we decided that we weren't going to pay taxes to King George and not get a say. So there you go. Second one on the list, and I may not be able to make an eloquent comment about all these because some of these I know very, very, very little about. the War of 1812, guess when that one was? that was actually in 1812. it went to 1815. Revolutionary War, by the way, it ended in 1783, so it lasted a while. So War of 1812, the Indian Wars, we're real proud of those. That was from about 1817 to 1898. Now, pay attention to these dates, how close a lot of this stuff is. I mean, we're just fighting all the time.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I had no idea the Indian Wars went until 98.
Yeah, I mean, that was, yeah. I mean, my granddaddy was alive. I think he was born in 1895 or 6. So, yeah, that's kind of that's amazing. And I'm gonna move on here, but one thing I wanted to mention, because I was just noticing how close these dates are together from one war to the next. I think in the all of the history of the United States, we have only not been at war for about 20 years total. The rest of the time, we've been in the middle of something. Take that for what you want. I'm a little bit, and I'm not going to get political here, but I do believe that we have gone a little far and beyond what we should be doing so far as policing the rest of the world. Some of it, I think we just need to mind our own business. But I'll say that and move on. The Mexican War, 1846 to 1848. Civil War, or as those of us in the South like to call it, the War Between the States, or the War of Northern Aggression.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Not that it's funny at all. It's funny to me, huh? Too. It's not funny at all, but I was hoping that you would say that, because it's kind of that's clearly a localism. That shows which side you were on.
Yeah,
had to be on sides.
Hey, we have to be Southern, because we are.
No doubt.
You know, there's. So anyway, that's 1861 to 1865. After that, the Spanish-American War, 1898. And then.
Well, let me back up one second, brother. I didn't mean that.
Okay.
In a funny way, a war of northern aggression is just another way I felt that folks had to rationalize it around here, and I have no idea what I'm speaking about. But that's funny to me, because just that phrase, because if ever, you know, there are certain necessary wars, I think you said that last week, and that was clearly one, in my opinion. And major fan of Abraham Lincoln, even though my middle name is Lee, because it was only my great-great-grandfather that was at Appomattox with him in 65. I know you know that. But there's just so many special interests are involved. It's kind of hard to say which side was right, but slavery clearly had to go. And
right.
Abraham did nothing less than preserve the Union. It would have been pure chaos had the South won, I feel.
It would be a different world, that's for sure. Probably not for the good.
How could America have been ready for World War II, or one rather, and then number two?
Yeah. Well, so yeah, World War I, 1917. That's the next one on the list. And I didn't realize this, that our involvement was so short. It was actually just till 1918. It was only I don't know exactly the months, but somewhere around a year, World War One, and we'll get into the details of why that was when we get to that episode. World War Two, 1941 to 1945, and we talked a little bit about that last week with D-Day and the surrender of Germany and Japan. The Korean War, 1950, just five more years later, 1950 to 53. Vietnam, 1964 to 1975. And some say the Korean War, backing up, that it never really ended. And really, I mean, I've heard in some, there was actually me being involved in the VFW, Veterans of Foreign War, there's been discussion when they were trying to decide who qualified to be members of the VFW, because it had to be, you had to be in, you had to actually serve in a foreign war, you know, overseas, and that was there's been, you know, and you, I'm sure you've probably heard this, Great Scott, that it's been called the Korean conflict, not necessarily war.
No, it's been sanitized as well as pen doctors can do.
Yeah. So, you know, being that North Korea is still North Korea, and we're still right. kind of at odds, you know, it's, I mean, everybody kind of stood down or is standing down, even though we butt heads with them, you know, to this day.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, you know, what would have happened if we just left them alone in the first place, because I think that was purely politically driven, the fear of communism, but that's a different day.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, there's that. Vietnam, like I said, 1964 to 1975, probably the most unpopular war we've ever been involved in. The veterans definitely didn't get a ticker tape parade when they came home, that's for sure. And there's a lot of the Vietnam veterans, well, I would say probably all of the Vietnam veterans, and tell me what you think about this, that I've ever met, that I really got to know a little bit, have always been a little bit, you know, I can't think of a good adjective without...
Good way to say crazy.
Something like that, yeah. A little bit different.
Right.
Because
right.
of all the stuff they saw and what they saw when they came home and how they've been treated. And
exactly.
You know. So, and probably the Vietnam War veterans, I mean, those guys are old now. I mean, you know, they're older than you and me because we were too young for that one.
Thank God.
And then the Korean guys, well, there's very few World War II guys around. There's a few Korean War guys around. And then there's quite a few Vietnam War guys around, but most of them are, well, I shouldn't say most of them, a lot of them have had substance abuse issues and PTSD and just all kind of problems, you know, mentally and emotionally, understandably so.
Oh, yeah.
and then we went from all the way from 1975 to 1990, which was Desert Shield / Desert Storm, and that one didn't last very long. That was a pretty quick war, you could call it. And we all, you know, you and I are old enough that we got to kind of see that one happen on TV. More of a push button war there. And I will say, I'm not going to take away the thunder on that episode, but the United States only suffered 148 casualties in that war. So that was, you know, the difference in as technology is being used more and more. And that's it.
Well,
that's it.
I know it's running late.
That's the list.
Of course, you and I remember Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather pretty vividly. Again, this mess ain't funny. But I remember growing up and going to elementary and seeing that mess nightly and being appalled at it as a 10-year-old. I don't think that any of that was fake news.
And which one are you talking about?
Oh, Vietnam and Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather.
Oh, yeah.
Nightly on the news. You probably remember that from your grade school years.
And well, I do, and I remember. I remember talking about memories. I remember most everybody knows by now my dad was a preacher, and so we had prayer every night, and we would actually the whole family, we would get on our knees around the bed or at the couch or whatever, and we'd all pray a little bit, and I remember Daddy always which we learned too, that to remember the boys in Vietnam. And that was just part of the prayer. And at the time, I didn't really understand really what it meant. It was just a fact of life, that we've got war in Vietnam and these boys, they need praying for. it was almost as common as, saying, remember the sick and the hurting, remember the boys in Vietnam, because I guess they were sick and hurting.
Well, he was.
But
your father was a preacher, but so much more than that. I like minister because he had so much empathy for everybody, not putting down on regular preachers, but. That's cool, man. That was never part of our. We had nightly prayers, but those boys were not included.
You're right. You can come up with all kind of terminology for preachers / ministers, and they don't necessarily all mean the same thing. I get your point there.
Particularly good at what he did, in my opinion.
Well, I have to agree with you. I think it's been pretty clear I thought a lot of him, and I appreciate your kudos.
You're quite welcome.
But anyway, I guess we've run against the clock here. I hadn't been worried too much about the clock now that I know that we can actually run across the border and nobody's going to, clothesline us or anything. So we've actually got the freedom not to get in such a big hurry at the very last minute. So I did.
And we have Mike
able to get in.
That. I'm sorry.
I know it.
Mike, hear from him again soon.
I'm assuming he's not listening live, so he may be listening, to the archive, hopefully. But we do appreciate that, Mike, for you turning us on to that information. And just so everybody knows, out of respect for Mike's privacy, I know that, but he said on the air that he's a military contractor. He actually provides food service for the military, and so he travels around, and he is a veteran. I believe he was in the Army, and he probably served in a similar capacity when he was officially in the service. But we thank him for his service and his continued service. And, there's a lot of people out there that are contractors and that serve. They may not necessarily be in the service. And since you brought that up, Mr. Scott, I had a thought this week, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Mr. Mike, there. I had the pleasure of going down to Shaw Air Force Base and doing some work this past week. And the company that I work for, we have a lot of military businesses and our business. I think we have actually done work for, I know, every military base on the East Coast and probably everywhere in between. But I was down there, and I got to thinking, because I was thinking about Mike, and his service, and I was like, well, even though I never had the honor of being a veteran, or I'm not a veteran, at least I get to serve in that small capacity, that I'm helping serve those that serve. So I'm real proud of that. But you got anything else, Mr. Scott? Great Scott.
I think I'm done.
Well, thanks again,
that's
man, for hey, that was good, man. I appreciate it. So next week I can actually, with confidence, say what the episode's going to be about. We're going to talk about the American Revolution. So everybody study up and be prepared to call in, and let's have a good discussion about it. This is where we came from.
Sounds good.
Well, thanks again, Mr. Scott. Or, dang it, great
My
Scott.
Pleasure.
I should say
My
Mr.
pleasure.
Great
Mr. Mr.
Scott.
Actually, you know, I appreciate great, but that's, you know, that's not true.
Mr. is a, seems like Mr. comes out a little easier. I'm having to force the great
fine.
Scott thing.
Sounds good to me.
I just thought it was a little clever, you know. I was trying to be clever, but.
Always, and I appreciate Ted cleverness.
Anyway, we're going to be out of here. I'm sure I'll be talking to you before next week, Mr. Scott.
Sounds
and we'll see the rest of you guys next week.